Hello, you're listening to your favorite podcast, Not Another Sports Podcast. And before we start our episode, we want to say thank you to all the fans who've been supporting us to this time. And if you're a new fan or just now listening, make sure you subscribe and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Not Another Sports Podcast. And at Twitter, N_A_S_podcast. Now enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast, Not Another Sports Podcast. We have my co-host, Jordan.
Yes, sir. Kevin is coming back from St. Louis. He'll be back next week. But we got our other co-host with us. Will.
He's here
in spirit.
No cap in spirit. Yes, yeah, sir.
And as always, you know, here we kick it off with something positive. And my something positive this week is, on behalf of the entire state of Georgia, I just want to say congratulations to the Braves for winning the World Series.
No cap. Yes, sir.
Let's go. Yes, sir. Just always positive.
Oh, I didn't know it was on me. Okay. Yeah. Well, my thing positive was, it was my birthday this week. Turned 24.
Yes, sir. More life.
Yes, sir.
More life.
Good old Kobe year.
Yes, sir. More knowledge, more life, more knowledge, whatever they think.
Yes, whatever they be trying to get us to believe.
Yeah. But for me, like I always say, if I don't have nothing else, I go with the Braves winning the World Series. Shout out to us. Shout out to Ian, man. That man really went 5 innings giving up no hits as a rookie in the World Series. Like, that doesn't happen every day. You gotta appreciate greatness. That's my dog. Also, I went to the Heat game this week. Tyler Hero was a rebound away from a triple-double. Shout out to him. I tried to tell Kevin last year that we shouldn't have traded him, and he argued me down, and I'm looking more and more correct. Shout out to him.
Yeah, sir. Man. This segment is called Something Positive, so never mind. We're not going to bring up the hard fit. With that being said, we are going to transition to the NBA. The NBA season is heating up. I don't know why I'm on YouTube. Where's ESPN? Here we go. NBA season is heating up, and both of my teams look like they're fighting for play-in spots. The Hawks are currently sitting at 12th in the East.
Well, the Hawks fighting for that number one pick.
But we fighting for that 10th play-in spot. We're going to be fine once we get a rotation and start playing defense. There was absolutely no reason why we shouldn't have won the game last night. I'm blaming it on Big Tigger, because every time he started chanting defense on the PA, they would go score. Then next thing you know, they up 5. Then 7. 10. I'm like, bro, stop talking. Don't say nothing. Just let them hoop, bro. But shout out to DeAndre Hunter. He back. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And the Lakers, they just doing what the Lakers do. They floating in the middle of the pack right now. This man Brian is putting up numbers, but can't get no help. So, yes, Russ is still putting up numbers. Well, he was at one point. all of that is null and void if you continue to turn the ball over. And this kind of leads into what we're going to talk about later, where he said it's okay for him to turn the ball over. It's not. You get a team more possessions, especially when y'all can't shoot the three ball. You can't be adding extra possessions, bro. That's what the NBA is now. That's what I was saying watching the Hawks game when they played the Knicks last night. I was like, the Knicks don't have to cool off at some point, but that's what the NBA is now. If you can shoot the three, they pulling up with like 18 seconds on the shot clock. I'm like, bro, there's nobody under the goal. Oh, you went in. So, I mean, that's what the NBA is. So it is what it is. Play some defense. You got to guard the three-point shooter.
Okay. Is this just an NBA recap?
We're really just talking about where the NBA is at this point. I mean, it's kind of... it's still kind of early playoff pitch, but I mean, you still.
Yeah, I mean, I'm back at that point where I don't care because KD just got hurt last night. So
you always say that, but then you got a couple players that you watch.
I mean, I watch Josh, but
then you watch the Warriors game when they be on. So
yeah, because they was playing Josh. I mean, I watch Clay Day, but I mean,
don't pay Jordan no mind. Just be talking.
I didn't watch. I'm not.
KD wasn't hurt when Clay got back.
Before Clay got back,
bro. The NBA is on every day in the house. What are you talking about?
I didn't start watching the basketball until what's it called? Till Christmas.
That's when we always start to win.
But I'm saying you acting like I was watching since day one. No, I watched Ja Morant and KD. That's it. If they're not playing, I'm not watching basketball. No, that's not what I said. I said I'm back at the point where I don't care because KD is hurt. And that's a factual statement. Like, I know what Ja Morant gonna do. I'm gonna watch him play, but I don't care. Like, it's not like they fighting for the number one seed. They on a win streak, yes, but like, okay. I want KD to be back. Like, then I'll care for him. That's all I'm saying.
Man, Kyrie playing half the game. James Harden looked like he phased into that part of his career where he really don't care no more. So. Hey, man, he's riding coattails at this point.
I mean, he's playing decent, but decent isn't going to cut it.
That's what I mean.
I know. I know.
While we're on the subject of basketball, I'm looking at ESPN right now. Alabama keep losing these close games. That was on the train home last night, and then we lost to Mississippi State last night. Again, we in every game. But at this point, we're in SEC play. We're fighting for seeding. So, and the SEC is deep this year. So, we can't be losing games we're supposed to win. And we got LSU at home on Wednesday. That's going to be a good one. Let's go. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Got any thoughts on the NBA, Will?
Me. See, currently, I'm in the phase of I don't really care. But Jordan already used that answer. So now I really care. I watched the Celtics game last night. I believe that was last night, Celtics and the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this guy by the name of DeMar DeRozan, who's a very, very, very unique talent that who's helping this team, Chicago, carry themselves to what seems like maybe one of their best finishes since Derrick Rose. But he's so inconsistent.
Right, because that man had an off week.
Like, I really want Chicago to do what they're looking as if they can do. But if their fate is solely on DeMar DeRozan, the play of DeMar DeRozan, the consistency of DeMar DeRozan, that's going to be terrible. They might be one of those teams that just look like a great regular season team and fold in the playoffs off of either experience or lack of leadership.
Yeah, man.
Literally. I've been watching the Celtics play. I'm a huge fan of Jason Tatum. I enjoy watching Jaylen Brown play. I'm glad that he's back.
Shout out to him. He's from the slums.
Yes, sir. Literally. Marietta, Cobb County, Saudi.
Yes, sir. But I feel like they might run into the same issue again because they have their Dennis Schroeder at the point guard. Even though he's not with the ball as quite as often as he may like or as maybe seen as predicted, I still feel as if the lack of leadership with an actual true or natural point guard, that's gonna kill them in the playoffs. That's gonna kill them on streaking and running. What else is another team I'm watching this year? I like the Heat. I like watching Big O. Big Yurt. I think
Met Servin or something.
Yeah, like that. I feel like he's somebody that kind of like when Hassan Whiteside flashed for the Heat, and he kind of gave the Heat like some type of odd edge.
He's the center that we need beside Bam. So whenever Bam comes back, that's when we're really gonna take off.
Yeah, so
especially
like
in the playoffs, because he can guard the Joel Embiids and have Bam just roaming on the perimeter guarding like the Tobias Harrises of the world, because he's not that great. So.
Yes. Yeah. He definitely is going out there getting like 20-12, 20-16, or something like. Like, this is ridiculous at this point. But I think, like, with all that being said, like, the East is extremely competitive this year. Unlike a lot of the past years, I like watching the Wizards too, actually. And I like seeing Kuz finally get to be who he wants to be. Gets to be who he said he was going to be. And everybody's actually seeing it like he said that they were going to see. Y'all were going to see what he was talking about. And he shows. He's been showing it. Yeah, but the East is extremely competitive. The West, oh, we have Phoenix at the top. Golden State. Surprisingly, we have the Memphis Grizzlies at third. Utah at four. Mavs at five. Nuggets six. Bron seven. Clippers at eight. The West is just, I don't know, the West looks way weaker than the East when you look at the Clippers being pretty much on the disabled list. Timberwolves are inconsistent.
I was ready to ask if we were ready to admit that the West isn't the better conference.
Yeah, they're like this. You see that they have the Grizzlies at 9, Dame and the Trailblazers at 10, who's actually 17-25. Like, from the 10 spot on, it's like, they're nowhere near being 500. You have the Kings.
Very top heavy.
Like, it is terrible.
Yeah.
But top heavy. Playoffs might be exciting. It's some exciting regular season games. I like the edge, the competitive edge, the chippiness that they have this year. That's cool. I like what I'm seeing. I think the playoff seeding may stay the same.
1-6 in the West is solid. I mean, the Lakers are up and down, but I say 1-4. 1-4.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like
The Mavericks are on like the line though.
Yeah.
What happened to Luka last night?
Up until Detroit and Orlando in the East, every team is a solid team. You have New York, they're a pretty good team. Boston, Atlanta, Indiana, they're all solid. Above them, you got the Wizards, who are putting stuff together. They got Kyle Kuzma, who's most improved.
Yeah, definitely. Like, the Hawks are definitely not a counted out team. No. We've seen the Hawks win 26 or 21 or something like that straight.
Toronto's putting the season together. Cleveland, who I said coming into this season was going to be good. Charlotte. So, I mean, I'm taking the East as a deeper conference than the West.
Most definitely.
Like Brendan said, it's more top heavy. Other than Phoenix, Golden State, Memphis. Like, I'm not putting Utah up there. I've seen them 3 years in a row.
So, early prediction, do you guys see the champion coming out the East or what?
I mean, I can see the champion coming out the West because, like Brennan has said, it's more top-heavy. I can see Phoenix or Golden State winning. I can't really see Memphis winning. I can see them getting there but not winning it.
It depends on the matchup.
But
if Memphis match up with somebody like Chicago, I like that matchup. But against Brooklyn or Giannis now, or even Philadelphia, it's not really a favorable matchup.
I like Memphis against Memphis against Milwaukee because I feel like Jaren Jackson can guard Giannis and Steven Adams can help. Also, they have I can't remember who's filling in for Steven Adams right now, but. They do have a lot of good rim protectors that could help. Plus, they have a lot of good shooters in Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, Ja. So they're going to have the defense on Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. So I like that matchup. I don't think that would be as what's it called? I mean, I would probably still take Milwaukee. But I would think that would be like a 6 or 7 game matchup. But speaking of off week, like you mentioned with DeMar DeRozan, we can't just skip by brother Wardell Stephen Curry. He's been having
an
off month.
Lord. And they've been coming out with headline after headline. Oh, it's his wrist. Oh, it's his leg. Oh, his stomach hurts. Oh, he didn't sleep well last night.
Oh, he had a bad dream.
Exactly. Like, bruh, it's not my fault. It's not anybody's fault that he goes to sleep just living on the fact that he's supposedly not the best three-point shooter ever. Nobody, keep proving it. Keep doing what you gotta do. Keep proving. Keep balling. Like, you had a great year so far. You had a great start. You had a great month last month or whatever, whenever it was that you was going streaking and running. But even on that run, he wasn't shooting the most efficient. That's what people don't really pay attention to. Like, even on the run, it was nights where they were like, oh, Steph might hit it tonight. And he goes like 1-for-11 from the three-point line. I mean, I don't know how I feel about Steph right now. I don't know if I'm going to buy the whole injury thing. But I feel like Steph's about to have to give up his best player on the team once Klay gets back in motion.
I think
the impact.
The Warriors have proven that the NBA season is a marathon, not a sprint. So we've seen this before where they go through droughts. So when it round about All-Star break, I think that's when they really gonna get hot. They could really fall anywhere between those 1-3 seeds in the West. Especially with Klay, once Klay get in a real rhythm, play a couple games, play a couple weeks at a time. You know what I'm saying? It's like they say, you can't really get into your conditioning other than playing. So, I mean, once he really get a rhythm, we all know how hot Klay can get. So, I think they're gonna be fine.
If Steph is hurt, does that mean he needs to sit out, or is it okay that he's sitting here hindering the team? Because there's headlines that he's hurt, and it's like he's out there still nice, playing shitty, and now we can't talk about it because he's not in rhythm.
Hey, man. If he's hindering the team, he don't need to play.
I think shooting 8 points, 10 points, and all of this, that's what the hell? Eric Paschal can do that shit. Jordan Poole can do that.
Hey, man. These are facts.
So it's just like, if you are hurt and you can't go get us 12, 15, 21, 20, 30, whatever, get on, sit down.
Sit.
Let Klay and Jordan Poole, like, let them get used to playing with, Klay has not played with, what they say, 80% of the team that's there now. He hasn't played with 90% of the players. Majority of the team is new. Sit your ass down and let the team get acquainted with their new, with their new sharpshooter. Steph want to be all in the mix.
Man, say, I got to get used to playing with Klay.
Man. He just knows how Jordan Poole. Exactly. Man, he know. Steph don't want to be an afterthought.
Yeah, man. Said, I had the, I missed the season too. I want to play too.
Okay. I'm hurt.
I don't know this new dude with this headband and this wristband. Who is this guy?
That other guy has short hair too.
Out here living on beaches and whatnot.
Literally.
Out here living on yachts, partying it up.
Showing up. I thought they were going to both go for 60 the first night they came back.
I'm saying, who is this guy?
Yo, if you liking what you're hearing on Not Another Sports Podcast, make sure you follow us on all social media, Not Another Sports Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And on Twitter is N_A_S_podcast. Thank you for listening and thank you for your support. Make sure you continue to stay up tuned and update with everything Not Another Sports Podcast. Now back to our show.
Gonna transition to our next segment. Yeah, we call it the Ozzie the Chipper segment. This since the NFL playoffs are going on currently, we are ranking quarterbacks and the amount of pressure they are under, 1 through 10, using a number coinciding with the player. I'm gonna go with Jalen Hurts 1 for Big Ben. That man out here living the dream, bro. He told his team, we ain't got no shot. Let's just go out here and have fun. You know what I'm saying? This might be my last game. I'm just going out here and rigging it. Whatever happens, happens. I'm good, bro. I'm still Big Ben. I'm gonna go in the Hall of Fame one of these days. So at this point, I'm just doing it till I can't do it no more. I'm Phillip Rivers at this point. So with that being said, I'm going with with Jalen Hurts one. How y'all feel about Big Ben?
Yeah, I'm gonna go a Raphael for call uno. Like Josh said in the group chat, Big Ben said that our championship are the friends that we made along the way. So, I don't think that they're going to really be sad if they lose. They honestly shouldn't have even made the playoffs. They probably, should have tied, but the Chargers and the Raiders should have tied, but the coach for the Chargers is done. So,
Big Ben is trying to get out there early to see what Juju gonna do for his TikTok introduction. That man Juju back too. Shout out to him.
Yeah. So I don't think that they're gonna be too sad in Pittsburgh if they lose.
I wanna go a little bit different. I'm gonna go Nomar Garcia Part 5. And why do I say that? It's because I'm in the middle of teetering towards maybe Ben was saying that to motivate his guys. And even if you say maybe he wasn't, still the pressure may lie on him on the fact that he was a Steeler his whole career. He's won Super Bowls with guys when he was the youngest player on the team, or he was the youngest looking, or, you know, the youngest next big thing. And he had pressure on him from guys like Hines Ward, Jerome Bettis, James Harrison, Troy Polamalu. You know, guys that would never let him say something like that. So what I'm thinking is, if Ben goes and does what people may think that he's going to go do and shit the bed purposely, He can't look at none of those guys the same. None of them guys will respect him ever. I mean, like, the ones that was there when Ben was a rookie or Ben was in his third year playing for the Super Bowl. You feel me? Like that's more of a what, you know what I'm saying? It's like more of a, it's more than just the game. Like, you can't even go shake certain people's hands no more because they won't respect you the same. So I think it is a lot of pressure on Ben in the aspect of respect for playing the game and afterwards. Other people that's played the game that he may respect, or that he may look to as idols. There's Franco Harris, there's Terry Bradshaw, you know, like, there's all these different people that bled the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers that I feel that he still has some type of respect for, that I don't think that he would put that helmet on today or tonight and go out there and literally shit the bed. But he could be like, yeah, F it. But like, that's just stupid. Like, that just makes no sense to me. I just hope that he's trying to, I just think that maybe Ben is pulling the veteran move. He said, damn, we pulled out a game that we weren't supposed to win tonight. The first question or second question, whatever they asked him was, how do y'all feel about y'all's chances? He goes out there and says, yeah. While he knows all of his boys are in the locker room making TikToks and goddamn doing the worm on the floor and shit. He knows all of his 12-year-olds are in there doing that. So while they're in there doing that, celebrating, Big Ben is answering questions and saying, nah, I don't believe those boys are willing to go out there and put their head on the stake to win this game, so we're not good enough. So that's what he tells them, the media, while his boys are in there dancing in the shower doing TikTok. It makes a lot of sense to me. Shit, he's the only person that's been in the league that long on the team. He's the only person who has that wear and tear on his body, that experience. So he's knowing that I'm going to a playoff game with a whole bunch of kids. I gotta have somebody ready to kill for me. I gotta piss them off somehow. If I don't piss them off, I'm gonna go out there and look like Baker Mayfield. Simple as that. So I feel like he's trying to motivate them. I hope he's, like, I'm really praying that he's just pulling some goddamn ace out of his sleeve as soon as he got off the field, because he know that they escaped and they shouldn't have made it to the playoffs. First thing he said was, shit, we don't deserve it. Pumping them boys up. I bet you all them boys hit the iron this week. I bet you all them boys went extra time in the field. I bet you all them boys at the gym a little bit harder this week. So we'll see how it is tonight.
Next up, we got, at the time of this recording, he had already lost. But Derek Carr, I don't really think he was under too much pressure. Who's number three? Give me a number three. The cornerback from the Eagles, he's number three.
Not Darius Slay.
Well, yeah, the reason I say that is because they just lost their head coach. They really weren't even supposed to make the playoffs, bro. The whole John Gruden thing. At this point, the Raiders are dysfunction, and for as long as I've known them, as long as I've been watching football, Nelson. He's number three.
Shout out him.
Okay. And he just probably got away with a pass interference, bro. Anyway, the Raiders are a dysfunctional organization. Let's go see who they hire in free agency, but let's see. How y'all feel about Derek Carr? His loss yesterday.
I'm going to go. Excuse me. I'm going to go Lonzo Ball, too. I know he was number two at some point in his career. So, I don't feel like there was a lot of they just muffed a punt. That is tragic. But I'm going to go Lonzo Ball, too. I feel like they weren't really expected to do much this season. They kind of backdoored into the playoffs. And they really weren't even, like I said, they really weren't even supposed to win the game. But the Chargers coach is stupid. So, I feel like there wasn't really much expectations. We all expected the Bengals to go out there and do what they did. And they almost dropped the ball like they normally do historically. So, I feel like it wasn't really much pressure on him. He did a pretty good job. Darren Waller dropped the ball. I can't remember the other dude, the dude that plays tight end kind of looks like a linebacker. But, he dropped another key third down.
I give Derek Carr maybe a Derek Carr 4. I think Derek Carr has had enough years in the system. And I think he's had just as many bad years as he's had halfway decent or not as bad years. Because I can't really say Derek Carr has had that year was tremendous. So I think there is pressure because they might want to move on next year. Fans might want to move on. Fans might get tired of seeing Derek Carr get another shot. I mean, you can say a lack of weapons or whatever the case may be, but should I see teams do just as well with just as much, or if not least? I feel like it's just him playing for a job as a quarterback at this point, because eventually his time will be done in Vegas, so then he'll have to be able to shop himself to other teams. And I don't think anybody outside of Vegas wants Derek Carr. So, yes, I think there's a lot of pressure. There was a lot of pressure on him to win. And, they're playing in Cincinnati. Joe Burrow, like a rookie quarterback. Rookie receiver, the team, one of the youngest teams on paper. So, I just feel like him individually, personally, there was a challenge there.
Next up, we got Mr. Mac Jones, who lost his first playoff game. But I'm going to give him a Dansby rookie year, too. Like I said, it was his rookie year. He started off the season pretty good. He had a rocky middle of the season after that Buffalo win when they ran the ball all those times. He struggled a little bit after that. But, I still think his name should be in the running for rookie of the year. He got his team to the playoffs. They're a young team. They're going to be fine. I don't think just because they lost bad yesterday, don't put that all on the rookie quarterback. The Bills also scored on every Their first seven possessions. So some blame has to go to the defense there. But yeah, I'm gonna go with a two for Mac.
I'm gonna go current day Dansby seven. He had rookie of the year in his possession. Ja'Marr Chase wasn't playing as well. He was on a win streak, and then at the end of the season, he fell. So, yeah, I feel like all he had to do was not play bad. Same with Jalen Hurts, and they both did. They both stunk it up. So,
let me give Mac Jones a D-Wade 3. And I think really the only pressure he may had would be maybe whatever if him and Bill Belichick had some type of, like, you know, conversation or something before the game, or, you know, when he got drafted or something. But other than that, I mean, he's exceeded, I think, the fan base's expectations. He's exceeded, I think, everybody else's expectations of sports, you know, like the NFL's fans around the league. So I don't really think he had any pressure. He's going against the Bills, I guess, because they beat the Bills, I think, three times or twice or something like that this season, both times this season. Maybe that, but other than that, I mean.
No, they split.
They split.
Bills beat them the last time they played.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, there's really no pressure. He's coming in following up Cam and Tom Brady, so it's like he couldn't have done worse than Cam was going to do, and he didn't. He exceeded, and he couldn't have done way better than anything Brady could have gotten, but he got close. So, I mean, kudos to him.
They're gonna keep on building, but anyway, the quarterback that he lost to, Mr. Josh Allen, I'm gonna go with Javi Lopez 8, Eddie Rosario 8. I feel like this is what, his fourth year in the league? So he's been to the playoffs a couple times. You got that experience. This was the team I think I picked at the beginning of the year to either make it to the AFC championship. I think I picked them to win the AFC. So, yeah. I mean, they got the tools to do it. It's just about making it happen in the playoffs. So the team that they lost to the last couple of years, the Chiefs, they aren't the Chiefs. So who's the top seed in the AFC? The Titans? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think if it came down to it, those two probably, that'll probably be a good matchup in the AFC Championship. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. I'm going to give him an Amari Cooper Alabama 9. I feel like Brendan said, all the pressure was on him. He's been in the league a couple of years. He was MVP runner-up last year, made it to the AFC Championship. There are really no excuses, other than the fact that they didn't really get a pass rusher or the running back that they needed. But, I mean, you still got enough to get to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, like Brendan said, the Chiefs aren't the Chiefs anymore. You should be able to get past the Titans. They don't have Derrick Henry as healthy as he was. So you should be good.
I gave Josh Allen a big 7. I definitely feel like he had to at least win this game, get through this round, in order to not be questioned going into the next season again about his legitimacy at being able to lead a team in big games. So this is a start, but he's definitely going to have to make a run, I believe, this postseason, because it's not like he's supposed to look at Pat Mahomes and be intimidated. You know, like, we're on the same age. Y'all got the same experience. The team's built almost the same. Y'all can win that game. Do it. So, I mean, I think the pressure from this game only gets higher. So he did cool. He did good winning his game. But next week is definitely the pressure's on.
Yeah. Next up, we got Joe Burrow. Shout out to him. I'm gonna go I guess Lonzo Ball, that was the first person I thought of, number two. But, yeah, I don't think he's really – the pressure came in the wild card round, winning that game, seeing as how Cincinnati hasn't won a playoff game in 31 years. So now he's just playing, bro. You're in new territory. You figuring out what the playoffs is. Go out there and play. I don't really see him having too much pressure. He had a great year. He came back healthy, rehab from the ACL injury, got the Bengals to the playoffs, and won a playoff game. So you can't go anywhere but up from here. So let's go. Shout out to Jerry Bauer.
I'm going to go with a Blake Sims, Alabama 6. I feel like Brennan said, there was a lot of pressure on him last week to, last night, to win the game against the
Raiders.
But I feel like next week, given the fact that we all assume that the Chiefs are going to win, they've beaten the Chiefs, so we've seen that it can be done. They're not the Chiefs of old that we've seen in the past couple of years where they look unbeatable. So this is a really good opportunity to make it to the AFC Championship. So, to Brendan's point last time about Josh Allen, that would be the next round matchup against the Titans. But I do think that the pressure is on Joe Burrow. I feel like there wouldn't be too many excuses. They've looked explosive throughout the whole regular season, and their defenses look pretty decent. It's not looked great, but it's looked pretty decent. So I feel like they have the pieces to get it done next week.
I'll give him a Reggie Bush 5. And that's just because I think he was one of those quarterbacks that was expected to make the transition well from college to the NFL. So I think his success was expected to come as soon as he got on the field, which is showing that if he's healthy and his weapons are healthy, they're one of the best teams in the AFC. So I just feel like last night he had to go prove that he gets the game. He understands the game. He can play the game for as long as possible, as long as he wants to. And he can continue to develop and grow, and he's not just a college talent, a bowl game winner, whatever you may want to categorize him as. Or, collegiate players that can't make the transition. I think that he just had to prove that he can make the transition, that he has made the leap. Because people right now are still questioning Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and, quarterbacks like that. So, just a little slight pressure. And he did his job.
Yeah, I struggle anywhere between 4 and 6. It's going to be IT, Reggie Bush, or Blake Sims.
And next up, I'm gonna do these last two together because I'm giving them both the same grade, but for different reasons. So let me explain. Patrick Mahomes, I'm giving him a Chipper Jones 10 because you've been to the Super Bowl in the last 2 years. You won the AFC last year. Everybody's saying y'all have regressed, and you're the number 2 seed for a reason. I mean, you're the top 2 team. The second best team in the AFC at this point. Your favorite going into tonight's game, and then you'll probably be favorite next week. You're gonna be at home, so you're supposed to win those type of games. And you're still at this point the defending AFC champion. So everybody coming for your head. Pressure is on 10. And Ryan Tannehill, you're the number 1 seed. Even without Derrick Henry, y'all managed to secure the number 1 seed. So y'all are expected to win. Y'all, like I said, y'all are favorite. This is the playoffs, so anything can happen. But people are tired of seeing Ryan Tannehill get to the divisional round and then flame out. They did get to the AFC Championship 1 year, but they played Kansas City. That's when Kansas City was hot. So, yeah, both of these guys, I'm going Chipper Jones 10. How y'all feel about Pat Mahomes and Mr. Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, it's really no reason for me to say anything else. Patrick Mahomes, it's on you. You've shown this year that you've not played at the same level. Granted, a lot of those passes that were picked hit receivers right in the hands, but there were also some that you threw that were uncharacteristic picks. A lot of pick sixes, so got to keep control of the ball. Like I said about Joe Burrow, their team is really good, so they can actually capitalize on your mistake. Ryan Tannehill, same thing. Brendan said, y'all were good enough to get it done without Derrick Henry. You're getting Derrick Henry back. All you have to do is not mess it up. So,
manage the game like you're supposed to.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you guys. Okay. Well, Patrick Mahomes. I guess I give him a 10. Yes, I don't think he has everything to prove. Like, it's just weird now. It doesn't feel to me like Brady was the only quarterback that really had pressure to repeat or go back again. Like, I don't ever, like, I don't feel like any quarterback after Brady that wins or goes to the Super Bowl is really pressured to go back. I don't know why. I just feel like the league is just not really, you know, like we've been worried. We've been counting Brady's years and how many years he'll go back. So it's like, I don't really feel like the pressure for him to go back because he was there last year or because he was there the year before. The reason, I just feel like on paper, his team and on the field, his team is still better than 99% of the teams in the playoffs. So I feel like the pressure comes from the fact that they should be beating these teams that they're playing. Like, they should beat the Steelers today by 30. Like, easily. Next week, who would they play next week if they won?
The
Bengals.
Yeah.
Exactly. So next week, literally on paper and off paper, they should beat the Bengals by 30. So it's like, that's the pressure. The pressure is every team that you're scheduled to play, this is in the playoffs on a 4 or 5 game schedule, you should be beating the doors off. You know, just that's all it is. And I think it's more of a team thing, honestly. But to answer Patrick Mahomes, I guess it's pressure just to step on the lesser competition, to not play down, because you're going to have to play down. You're playing Big Ben, then you're playing Joe Burrow, then you finally might play a decent quarterback.
And Tannehill?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you, like, no. I would assume he would play, he wouldn't run into Josh Allen.
No, they're playing the next round. Josh Allen, Tannehill.
No, I'm saying, yeah. What are your thoughts on Ryan Tannehill?
Ah, I forgot he existed. I just thought the Titans ran out of the Wildcat. But, pressure on Ryan Tannehill, like, I really don't look at him as a quarterback. Like, that team is just X's and O's. Like, I don't know how they get the stats other than Derrick Henry. I don't see, Julio doesn't want to play. AJ's hurt often. So Ryan Tannehill's only job is to just not go out there and literally shit down his own leg. Like, don't go out there and throw 4 picks and 73 yards, because we expect you to throw for 73 yards. We just don't want the errors and the mistakes on top of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no, like, with a quarterback like that who already throws for like 140 a game, if that, because Derrick Henry is getting 120 a game. It's just like, your job is to protect the rock at this point. The only person who can really, the first person touches the ball is the quarterback. So it's like, don't shit, please.
Okay. And last week we did the Ozzie the Chipper for the NFC quarterbacks, but it's really no point in going back over that one. We pretty much all agreed on all of them. The bottom half, Garoppolo, Hurts, who else?
Dak. Garoppolo hurts. Dak. No, Dak is on the top half. Garoppolo hurts. I guess it was just those two. Those two had pressure to not be. Oh, and Kyler Murray. Those three had pressure to not be trash. Nobody's expecting them to be great, but not be trash. The top four, Dak, Matt Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady all had 10 pressure for because basically Dak got all the money. Matt Stafford, he was looked at to be the savior. Tom Brady, because they brought everybody back, and Aaron Rodgers, because they literally had absolutely no excuse whatsoever. No. Did you have any thoughts on the NFC quarterback?
I don't think any of these quarterbacks are good, good enough to carry any of the teams that they have to the Super Bowl. And, well, not to the Super Bowl, but they don't have enough to win the Super Bowl. Like, they all have tremendous pressure, other than Tom Brady, of course. But, well, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady-ish. But, like, Aaron Rodgers is hit or miss, because as of recently, he's been, I don't know, like, waking up Chris Breezy or something. Like, every other game, he's playing as if he wants to give up the reins to Jordan Love. And then it's like, oh, wait, I am Aaron Rodgers. And I don't think any of the quarterbacks. I guess the pressure is tremendous, but that's just on – it may be just on Brady. I mean, not Brady, Aaron Rodgers, just because he has the MVP numbers and he has the MVP hype. And all the last 2 years, the drama and the sagas and this and that. But other than that, all those quarterbacks can go out there and wet the bed, and it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Stafford can wet the bed. Kyler Murray can wet the bed. Garoppolo can wet the – everybody. Like, all of them literally can wet the bed, and it'll be okay.
Right. We're going to wait till Kevin gets back next week to do our predictions. But I'm not predicting Dallas to lose this week. But if they do lose to San Francisco, I could see San Francisco beating the Packers just because of that matchup. I feel like that's a very bad matchup for the Packers.
Hey, what's going on? Can't get enough of Not Another Sports Podcast? Well, you can follow us on social media at Not Another Sports Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and N_A_S_podcast on Twitter. And keep up with everything Not Another Sports Podcast. We appreciate y'all's support, and y'all make sure y'all subscribe. And back to the show.
That being said, we're going to kick off our penalty kick technique. After having a rough August, this man, Ja'Marr Chase, has overtaken the betting odds for offensive rookie of the year for Mac Jones. Shout out to him for learning how to catch an NFL football. I still don't understand how you didn't work with one the whole offseason, but whatever. We knew you had the talent. It's not really, I think it's more of a congratulations to your quarterback, because it's kind of hard to give a receiver one of those type of awards, even though a receiver did win the Heisman last year in college, though. But it's one of those positions where you need your quarterback to be at least decent. So, but I mean, shout out to Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah, shout out to him. I was definitely one of those people that was saying they should take Penei Sewell instead of Ja'Marr Chase, but he's proven me wrong. Shout out to him. Set the rookie record for most receiving yards in a season. Like I said, he's probably more than likely going to beat Mac out for rookie of the year, because he struggled down the stretch. But shout out to him.
Mm-hmm. What we got next?
Earl?
No cap. Ja'Marr Chase can't catch. He's kind of iffy, but he is exciting. And he is, I think, probably the best receiver out the, well, he almost turned himself into the best receiver out of the AFC, out of the rookie, well, not a rookie class, but that's clear, but out of this in general, out of the last month or two, or the last 2 weeks, few weeks of the season. But I think that's just excitement and jitters, because if you look at a lot of the catches that a lot of the passes that he dropped, his numbers would have been outstanding, like even more ridiculous, tremendous, actually. So, I mean, it'll be something to watch, but I'm a Falcons fan, so.
Yeah. And as always, come the end of the season comes what we refer to as Black Monday, that Monday after the season's over when a bunch of coaches get fired. It's basically the whole week, because some of these firings happen at the end of the week, but whatever. Brian Flores from Miami got fired. David Cooley of the Texans. Who else? Those are the first two that popped in mind.
Matt Nagy
did. Well, we
spent Mike Zimmer. There was one more. Vic Fangio.
Yes.
I feel like that was it, but
all of them
might have been one more.
The only two that I had a problem with was Brian Flores and David Cooley. Like,
Cooley.
In Houston, you set that man up to fail. So, honestly, I feel like it was a publicity thing. They couldn't get anybody else. They were like, oh, well, here's this black guy. Let's put him in this terrible situation. And then when he don't make the playoffs, then we can all blame him. He can be the scapegoat. His quarterback wasn't even there. It was just a terrible situation, and it played out how a lot of people predicted it was going to play out. And it was at one point in the season where we were saying they weren't going to win. They could very easily have been the Jaguars. They ended up winning 4 games, 4-13, which is, in that dysfunctional situation, that is that deserves a round of applause. But and Brian Flores, he had them on the winning streak. They won 8 straight games. I think that was it was more of a power struggle. He had a terrible. They didn't have a good relationship with the GM. He didn't have a good relationship with Tua, and the owner sided with the GM. This is what happens when you have humans with emotions and egos and things like that in these type of situations. Because these are the things that happen. You don't have a good relationship with somebody and they basically are your boss, then you're probably not going to stick around that long. That's just how that goes. That's human nature. But how y'all feel about Black Monday and the firings around the NFL?
Yeah, pretty soon we won't be able to call it Black Monday because we only have one black coach left. But, shame on the Texans. The only reason they got David Culley was because he's black and they were trying to talk to Sean Watson to coming back. That didn't work. So they probably just gonna hire Brian Flores for the same exact reason, knowing that Deshaun Watson said he wanted to go to Miami because they had Brian Flores. So,
they didn't want to go to New York.
Right. So, I mean, who knows? It's just a trash situation. Brian Flores didn't deserve to get fired. I hope he goes to the Giants or the, what's it called? The Denver Broncos.
Broncos.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of. But yeah, I hope he goes to one of those.
Shout out to Jerry Jeudy. Well done.
My team didn't participate in Black Friday, so or Black Monday, or I guess it's cool. I just wish my team would participate a little more, so that way we could get in the spirit, But it's cool. Brian Flores getting sent out of Miami. I don't really, I don't know. I guess I'm the wrong person to ask. I don't have any emotional ties to any of these people. poor you.
Man, this is the NFL. People get fired every day, B.
No cap. I mean, nah, but he actually did have something going, though.
Right.
Which kind of sucks. Because now just you question if the front office actually, if it was all about winning or if they cared about winning. And clearly it seems like they're not in the department or dancing towards the aisle of winning. So, but it was cool. I guess like I would like more teams to actually participate, though, because there's a lot of talent and a lot of wisdom and whatever else about the game, knowledge of the game that could be picked up when all of these coaches are getting done dirty in the league and tossed around. Or I wish that there was maybe ways that like college teams could get in on this and like, you know, pick up some of these coaches, or they started like some type of program where like they were sending these coaches down, and sending them down would be just sending them to college or something. Right. Because a lot of these issues that's happening in the front office are putting people out of a job and affecting a lot of people's families. And it's not like people say it's business, but a lot of these situations don't seem like it's business. A lot of them seem personal, and like stuff like that just sucks. So kind of mixed feelings about it, but I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it is what it is.
And man, all I know is all these firings, there's a lot of job openings that Bill O'Brien can fill.
No. He ain't gonna have to hit Texans head coach. But our last segment our last topic for our penalty kick segment, this man Russell Westbrook said he's allowed to turn the ball over. Not if you're hurting your team, bro. That's the issue. Nobody has a problem with how fast you play, how much you bring to the game, you come hungry, you always give it your all. But you're hurting your team when you turn the ball over. Like, Shannon said it best, I take a smart player than a hard-working player or whatever. Because some of the situations you put yourself in, as talented as you are, you look like a rookie because you're making bonehead plays because you don't let the game come to you. You just go. It's two people under the goal, 2 7-footers under the goal, and you still trying to go laying in. I'm like, bro, slow down. There's nobody. You the only one down there. But I don't know. Like you said about Magic, everybody's entitled to their opinion. So whatever. Just don't keep hurting the Lakers, bro. You hurting the brand.
I get what he's saying. Everybody's allowed to turn the ball over every now and then, a couple of times when they're dead ball turnovers where you can set up your defense, but you literally set up a fast break opportunity every time you turn the ball over, and it's at least 5 or 6 times a game. So I mean, now you're not really allowed to do that. I mean, that'd be like saying Aaron Rodgers is allowed to throw 3 picks a game just because picks happen. Like, no.
They do, but he contributed to that, bruh. You got to change up the way you play. You continue to hurt the team. Put myself out there for a team? What team?
Hey, man, this is y'all's savior that was supposed to come park himself next to y'all's goat. Ride into the fucking sunset, 12 rings and shit.
I don't make comments on LeBron GM decisions. I just ride with it. He right, he wrong, he wrong.
Oh, goodness gracious, yeah. Let me go get Russ.
Hey, man.
Okay.
The man said this is the pop key to our answer. This is.
How y'all gonna tell him to stop doing shit that he been doing his whole career?
Exactly.
Play perfect. Oh, okay.
Somebody else.
Y'all was so blinded by the triple doubles that now the triple doubles not there. Y'all see that he actually turned the ball over a lot. He misses a lot.
Oh man, he's not getting triple doubles.
He sucks. Oh, now they hate him.
All facts.
The
Amen. Either y'all gonna ride with him when he's trash, or y'all gonna shit on him. But y'all begged for him. Y'all praised him. Y'all threw a parade for him. Y'all did all types of stuff. Now that y'all got him, y'all want him to leave. Hey, man. That's y'all boy. Y'all gotta get him out of that slump. As fans, y'all need to come together as a fan base and make him feel better. But nope. Y'all so used to the golden era. Y'all don't know what it means to get it out the mud. Should've went and got Kyle Lowry.
Robert over for Russ right now.
Man, all I'm saying is, this is literally Russ's game. Like, everything that he's doing is him. Like, that's him. Y'all like 2 years ago, or last year, or 3 years ago, or 5 years ago, he wasn't shooting off the shot clock.
He was.
Like, bro, like, I'm confused. Yeah, like, this footage is just rare. Like, whoa, that's him? Yeah, it's rare for him.
The numbers he's averaging this year are the same as his career average.
Like, bro, what are y'all mad about? He's giving y'all the rock, the baby. Come on.
Yeah, man, LeBron said he'll figure it out. That's what he does.
Right. That sounds like it. Yeah, he better get it on his own, because I'm not helping him.
I'm still the king. I gotta get my numbers.
Quite the leader he is.
Hello, this is Jordan. You're listening to Not Another Sports Podcast. If you want to continue the conversation, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Not Another Sports Podcast, and on Twitter at @N_A_S_Podcast. Thank you for your support, and back to our show.
Before we get out of here, our pick the ending is, this week's question is, what is the best TV show theme song? That is a good one. I'm going to have to go with a classic, Fresh Prince.
Yeah, I mean, it's a couple. I got for honorable mention, shout out to Betty White, shout out to Bob Saget. Both of their TV shows had great theme songs there. Cheers, I've never seen the show, but that theme song is pop. But yeah, I'm gonna go with the Boondocks. Their theme song is great.
That works.
Never thought about that.
Since we're doing honorable mentions, the old NBA on NBC, y'all might, I'm pretty sure y'all heard the footage, because anytime there's a documentary on basketball from the 90s and back, that's what the NBA used to come on. Shout out to the NBA on NBC.
Okay. I like very loud, I've heard that. That count for
no, yeah, we'll count.
Yes. What was yours?
Fairly Odd Parents.
And that concludes another episode of your favorite podcast, Not Another Sports Podcast. Remember, I'm one of your hosts, Brandon. Make sure you follow me on all those social media sites. At Rob was there.
Yes, I'm Jordan. You can follow me on Twitter at @this_guy11. Instagram _this_guy11. You can follow the sports pages on Facebook and Instagram, Not Another Sports Podcast. Twitter, @N_A_S_Podcast. And you can also find us wherever you listen to your podcasts on by searching for Not Another Sports Podcast, or the black logo. Shout out to us.
Yes, sir. You can follow me on Twitter @not_Earl.
Ooh. Yes, sir. You know all the stuff Kevin says. Wash your hands, wash your tables, all the good stuff.
Make sure y'all be safe out here. And always remember, the Braves are the world champions.
Okay.
Oh, God.